Welcome everyone to Stashaway's market commentary. And I have with me today a great pleasure of mine to have Stephanie, my deputy CIO, here with us in this channel as well. Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Hi, Freddie. Hi, everyone. It's very, very cold in Hong Kong.
Ah, that's why you look warm on your
yes
today. Well, as you know, a lot has happened in the markets since the beginning of the year. The correction started from 3rd of January when S&P picked, and the latest concern in the market was this latest actions of Russia sending troops to Ukraine. And that really created tensions. They formally recognized separatist groups in Ukraine itself. That's seen as provocative. And Europe is concerned. NATO is concerned. US is concerned. So, Stephanie, let me start with you, right? What do you think? The market has clearly reacted, but what do you think about this price reaction versus the event?
Yeah, of course. I mean, things are kind of quite fluid and we're seeing headline news every day. It seems like the financial sanction is the first step, but potentially, I mean, Biden and European Union has also signified that there could be further steps. There are some fears that a war is going to break out as well. So I think it's prudent to maybe take a look at like what the financial markets is already priced in, because financial markets always just move ahead and trade on expectations of things. So to look at, to kind of get a gauge of how markets is pricing in the risk in Ukraine and Russia, I mean, we can take a look at two very, very direct impacted asset classes. Like the first one is obviously Russian equities. And you have to look at it from a US dollar point of view, because under the ruble, the currency is also affecting how foreigners are actually pricing Russian assets. If we look at that, actually, the US dollar Russian equity index has fallen about 35% from its recent peak. That compares to a 43% drop in 2020. And if we look back further in 2014, when Russia basically had annexed Crimea and triggered a round of sanctions, back then the Russian equity market also fell by around 42%. So, I mean, I think looking at this, it seems like the market has priced in quite a bit of risk, but I mean, not as much as obviously in 2014 or the correction in 2020.
So obviously, to put it into perspective, Stephanie, it seems like the world is more vulnerable than in the past case with Crimea, because inflation were a lot higher, energy prices higher. So it's sort of seen as Russia holding Europe in particular hostage because of energy. Is there some truth to it in your opinion?
Yeah, I think the market is also pricing that in as well, because obviously oil prices oil is another asset class that's been pushed up higher because of concern about exactly what Freddie has been talking about. So again, I mean, we can look at some interesting data about the energy prices to get a gauge of how much risk is priced in. And to look at this, of course, from a headline point of view, the Brent prices have gone above $90. I think latest is trading around $93. The other way to gauge this is actually also to look at what we call the calendar spread of oil price futures. So you take the front month future and the 12-month forward future. Typically, in times where the market is very concerned about near-term supply, the front month would trade at a premium to the 12 month, to the forward month. And if you take the difference, then you can kind of get a gauge of how nervous the market is. Right now, that premium is trading at around 12%, 13%, which has been a historical high in recent years. So a lot of concern has been priced into oil.
So putting the market pricing, so what you're saying is that market is pricing a lot of this concern. And if we put it in the broader perspective, just in case.
Yeah.
If they go to war, but it's just Russia and Ukraine, it's isolated, the rest of the world, NATO, Europe, US, put on sanction pressures only to exert pressure to change. That actually is not that's an isolated scenario. It becomes like it's not going to be a contagion. It's actually quite isolated. But if, of course, we go to a multilateral warfare, then it becomes a lot more messier, energy prices can certainly go up. In your opinion, what is more, what's your base case scenario?
Basically, we're looking at sanctions. So if you follow the 2014 playbook, Europe and US apply sanctions to Russian individuals and also companies that are closely related to Putin. However, they refrain from broader sanction of import of oil and energy, precisely because they know the economic impact of this. So it's a bit of game theory, because right now the US is also facing a big inflation problem, which we've been highlighting for months. And if they imply tighter sanctions, that may push energy prices higher, and that may have impact on the US economy itself. So it's a difficult game to play. Here we don't have the crystal ball, but we rely on a lot of data to just help us to guide our portfolio decisions. But it looks like the market is very worried. And added to that, there's also concern about the Fed tightening. So the S&P has been in a correction mode. If just look at the latest number, it's fallen close to 14% from its peak. Freddie, what's your view on that? And also, how is Stashway Portfolio's position for that?
Well, since our reoptimization, we're preparing for valuations and inflation momentum, as you knew early in the year. As it turns out, our portfolio has been very, very flat relative to where the major indices are. As an example, the highest risk portfolio, which is expected to be the most sensitive, as of the latest estimate, fresh estimates, probably down around negative 2.2% for the year in USD terms. But as you just mentioned, S&P is down as of last night, 11.35%. But in Asia time, there's another extra couple of points down. So it's nearly 14, as Stephanie just mentioned. So that's quite a big gap of outperformance here. Again, it goes to show that the importance of being diversified, but it's not saying it's easy. It's how do you source diversification? So in particular, we source diversification by looking at the valuations of assets, looking at economic factors, and trying to balance the portfolio's exposure to all these dimensions. So this is coming in play right now. And of course, we hope the markets will stabilize soon. But to our users, it has been very resilient, our portfolio across the board. So Stephanie, on China, there's also quite a few things going on. And perhaps we can walk our clients through the latest scoop in the landscape there.
Yeah, a lot of news and rumors flying around as well. Right? Earlier this week, I think some of the big caps in China internet space has been hit because of a rumor that China will stop issuing new game licenses in 2022. Which was very, very, outright denied by Tencent spokesperson, and also the tweet the internet post referred to was actually a very, very old post from last year. So again, markets are confused at these junctures, but it's important to stick to facts.
I would also add that there's also a similar misunderstanding with this Meituan situation. As I remember correctly, the governments were asking food delivery platforms to lower their fees. However, what's missing in the headline was only in areas affected by pandemic or zero COVID, in the lockdown because of zero COVID policy. And so it's not nationwide. And so there's another misunderstanding there. But if I go to the macro level, you also see that China has just completed the hosting of the Winter Olympics. It's very likely the zero COVID policy is going to be loosened or even removed. So this delivery fee cap is essentially designed to share the burden for affected areas. But with this policy likely to go away since the Winter Olympics, it's also likely that this would not really be a material influence on say, Meituan's bottom line. So this is yet again another spin that's been happening, the rumor mill, or it's widely misunderstood.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's exactly. It's important to look at facts, and then also the other fact that we've been referring to is that the central bank policy divergence. The market is now pricing in more than five times of rate hikes for the U.S. Other developed central banks are also set to tighten, and I mean China, as we've mentioned before, remain one of the only major central banks to be on a loosening path. So that gives the portfolio diversification benefits, which we've been stressing throughout the years. With that, thank you, Freddie, for your very, very insightful sharing. And as always, at Stashaway, we have a whole host of very informative webinars lined up for all of you. So this month, actually, we have She Invest, which is a great, great initiative leading up to International Women's Day. On March 1st, we have a very interesting webinar with Satoshi Women, and the topic is investing in crypto and NFTs. That will be March 1st. On March 8th, the week after, we have Investing in Female Leaders. And last but not least, we also have a interesting partnership collaboration with FinoFest on March 5th on diversifying your portfolio through investing in wine. So please sign up and dial into these very interesting webinars. Thank you very much, and you all have a great week.